the Downbeats, and good evening and or welcome back. Jeff Bennett here behind the mic for another hour, three-hour marathon session tonight. You're listening to Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which you can pick us up on the Internet, of course, at republicbroadcasting.org. You can also pick us up on satellite, and believe me, I don't know all the numbers. You go to republicbroadcasting.org, you'll find it, be able to figure it out. Also, now being simulcast at KHFX, 1140 AM, serving the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Glad to have you here. So welcome to all of our many new listeners. And although you won't hear a lot of country music coming out of this station that you're familiar with, country classics, we'll guarantee you that you'll walk out of here with an education that may change your mind about the way you see things in this nation. And that is what our goals and that's what our purposes are. Just spent a very enjoyable 2 hours with Bob Chapman. Thanks to those of you who called in. I know we did not get to take every single one of the callers. Mark up in the Northeast, we were unable to get to, and just, you know, buried with stuff. And I don't like to keep people holding online too often when we take callers. But then on this program, we very rarely take callers. Before I forget, coming up tomorrow, on Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. My schedule was to hit the road, Jack, tomorrow morning, about 4 in the morning, heading toward Texas, but a number of things have gone on. I've had to postpone that trip until after Labor Day. However, I'd already committed tomorrow's Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz solo to my good friend Roger Sales. You will still have Wednesdays with Roger. Tomorrow, it'll just be without me. I'm going to talk to Roger a little bit later and suggest that what he might do is, as specifically for you new listeners in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and or new listeners to this network, no matter how you're listening to us, that Roger might want to go back and review some of the early things that were discussed on this program with him back in early April so that people can once again get a handle and an understanding of the purpose of all that he talks about as relates to freedom-related issues. So, Raj, if you're out there listening, shoot me out a quick Skype message. Let me know you've heard what I've done. I'm not going to tell him to remake what he's got planned. But given the fact we've got a new audience, it might not be a bad idea to kind of give an overview from the beginning of exactly what this is all about. So that would be cool. Stay with us. And we'll be back.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608, 1-908-691-2608, or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Ow, I got a man that's always late. Anytime we have a date. But I love him. Yes, I love him. So I'm gonna walk up to his gate. See if we can get it straight. Cause I want him. Yeah, I intend to have him. I'll just ask him, is you is or is you ain't my baby? Well, the way you're acting.
Oh, man. Listening to that gal is just unbelievable. Renee Olmsted. I just never tire of her. Forget the fact she happens to be darn cute. Her stage presence is simply amazing. By the way, speaking of music, even though it was not of a jazz origin, two nights ago, I read almost a shocking piece of news to me. Some years ago, A very enjoyable person who happened to be a singer first got into movies and had a pretty marvelous career doing light romantic comedy with people like James Garner, Rock Hudson, and others, retired from show business. And she has been out of the public limelight for some 20 years, spending time involved with animal shelters and things of this nature. Her last husband had not done her so horribly kindly and had blown through most of her fortune. But her son had stayed with her and continued to work with her from a show business standpoint, although she really never performed again. Sometime in the year 2000 and early 2000s, 2002, 3, 4, he got her to go into a studio and begin to record. And her work has never been released. Well, the son unfortunately died a few years ago, and the work sat there. And for some reason, she made a decision to put an album together and release it. And it's going to be interesting to hear, but I always found her to have one of the most pleasant, lilting voices, even though it was not of a jazz style. There's a new album that'll be getting released in September by Doris Day. So for those of you who are of the era and enjoyed her, be on the lookout for her new album coming out in September. Welcome back to Life, Liberty, and All That Jazz. Many of you have followed my work for a lot of years. And, you know, we've just spent the last 2 hours with Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster discussing economic issues. You spent 2 hours prior to that listening to Robbie Noel discuss economic issues. And I have more and more taken Tuesdays on this program and decided I don't want to talk about economic issues. I mean, how many hours of it can you possibly listen to? The average person out there is in deep financial doo-doo. Yes, I like to think that we've got some ways to resolve some of it and to assist many of you. And we'll talk about that another time. I have been kind of building a little bit of a bank over the last few days. I received an email from a gentleman probably a week and a half ago. And I wasn't quite sure what to do with it. I was not angry with his comments to me by any stretch of the imagination. I found his commentary, or shall we call it a critique, of some things I've been doing on this program to be of interest. It did not upset me, but it set my mindset going in a different direction. Many of you know that I will get somewhat satirical on this program. I have been known over the last 16 plus years for doing various different voices or accents. It is not meant to ridicule, but it's meant to make a point. Whether I was using a Hispanic type accent or French or Slavic to include Russian, Polish, Ukraine, etc., etc., and certainly a street jive accent, and that's what I call it. It is not a Negroid or a colored accent or an African American accent. It is a street jive accent. Unfortunately, I think that the leadership we have residing, or the lack thereof, residing in the White House, although may speak somewhat more eloquently, it's just a polished version of street jive as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to share the gentleman's letter with you, and I hope he's listening. He is a young man who happens to be a man of color, as he bills himself. I find that interesting because in many respects we are all of color, but let's assume for a moment that we have the so-called white or Caucasian. We're considered not of color, even though you'll see very few that are pure white. It is interesting because people from India and Pakistan and from Libya and Egypt, et cetera, certain people from South America certainly are people of color. Native American Indians are people of color, people who come to this nation from the Far East, Vietnam, Japan, China, Hong Kong, et cetera, Korea, are certainly people of color, different degrees of pigmentation. But I understood exactly what he meant. I have made no bones about my opinion of the current resident at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, nor have I made any bones about the caliber of some of the idiots in his administration, nor that lovely wife of his. These people are anarchists in their own manner. They are certainly socialists. They are certainly communists. Color doesn't have a damn thing to do with it, because they certainly have surrounded themselves with other people of non-pigmentation, as it were, who are equally as dirty. Certainly Bill Ayers is not a man of color, and yet, nor is Saul Alinsky, and yet the education of one Barack Hussein Obama has certainly come from some of these other socialists or communists or whatever you wish to call them. And yet I've gone on the air on various different occasions depicting Barack Obama as a George Kingfish Stevens from the old Amos and Andy program. If you remember that George Kingfish Stevens was probably the biggest BSer on that program, very much like the resident at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I've gone on other times using typical 70s, excuse the term, but jive-ass language to depict, because, you know, and this is where I have a problem. From one end of this nation to the other, not in all cases, but so many alleged people of color, so many blacks or Negroes or coloreds or African Americans or whatever your generational tag of some of these individuals are, I can go to the Carolinas. I can go to Detroit. I can go to Chicago, to L.A. I can go to Phoenix, Arizona. So many of them talk exactly the same. Every other word is MF. You can make that one up for yourself. And so I have a problem with it. And so, yeah, I tease about it. But I don't tease about that accent any more than I do with a south of the American border type accent, which I frankly like to have fun with. It's not to make fun of people, but it is to prove a point of the idiocy. Over the years on my program, I have very often shared a comment, a piece done by John Wayne back in the 1970s, written by Robert Mitchum's brother, John, and it was a piece called The Hyphen, basically talking about when people call themselves Irish American or Italian American or Jewish American or African American, what they're really saying is that they're a divided American. Their allegiance is not necessarily to America, but it is to whatever they believe their heritage or their background happens to be, or what may be, in fact. So having laid that groundwork, please bear with me here, because I'm going to share the gentleman's letter, which was a very eloquently written letter. I had no problem with it whatsoever. But I'm also going to then turn around and share with you some of the news headlines that have been coming out as of late. And I'm going to suggest to you that a lot of these people, the Al Sharptons, the Jesse Jacksons, the Charlie Rangels, the Maxine Waters, the Michelle Obamas of this world continue to promulgate and emphasize this racial division in many respects, and in fact, do, quote, their own people no favors. The letter states, Mr. Bennett, I know you're busy, so I'll be as brief as possible. With all due respect, as a person of color, I really tire of hearing the jive talk impersonations, like today. I obviously said eyes be having that in reference to Obama indulging in a campaign tour bus. He says, I'm not stale. I get it. That's funny because our politicians are clearly inept and ignorant, and I myself picture them having trouble with basic English. But when I hear you only doing that to people of color, it gets old very quickly. Well, as I just mentioned, I don't only do it to what you're referencing as people of color. He says, I'm a young guy. I enjoy very much listening to RBN and the issues it delves into. I personally first tuned in for Alan Watt, but try and listen to as many other guests and hosts as possible. But I honestly tire of tuning in too early only to wish I had not. The rhetoric is kind of offensive and tarnishes the opinion of anyone, especially anyone of color, inquiring into the Patriot movement. It's got a nasty reputation, and an unfair one, that it's filled with rednecks, and you're not really helping the situation. I don't disagree with any of that. I'm probably not helping the situation, but I'm not attempting to fan the flames. I'm attempting to emphasize specific points and emphasize the ignorance and the stupidity of all that is going on around us. You know, I'm going to make a statement right now that is going to offend some of our listeners from the other side, the so-called non-pigmented individuals, when I'm going to say that as a representative of his people and in other respects of all people, Martin Luther King. Now, I didn't agree with everything he said or everything he did, nor did I with a Ronald Reagan or anybody else. This is what human beings are about. If everybody agreed with everyone else of like mind, with every stand that they took, it would be a dull and boring world. We would be like robots or like sheep. And so when I was completely unaware of it, and I believe it was yesterday, the unveiling of the Martin Luther King Memorial statue in Washington, D.C., I was not only amazed, I was extremely happy for it. Yes, his most famous speech, I Had a Dream, was plagiarized from a Columbia University professor that had written it in 1952. But you know what? I don't even care about that. The man spoke with so much emotion. he delivered that speech to the point that 40 years later, not a person that was living then can't quote certain aspects out of that speech, where he talked about one day people growing up, not mattering what color they were, and people being able to get along, people being able to sit down and talk. I have often shared with you the range of people that I have living on this street. We've got people of Hispanic background. I've got people here from living in this on this street from Poland. I've got so-called people of color living on the street that I live on. I've got an East Indian family that lives two doors away. You know what? Everybody on this street is pleasant. Nobody gives a rip about their color but one family. Now, there's three black families living on the street. Only one family makes an issue of what their color is. The other two black families just are human beings. They converse. They go outside. We're talking. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. But the one family is loud, obnoxious, MF this, boom, boom, music that. They're renters. Guy's got a commercial business. Parks his commercial vehicle out in front of the house, facing against traffic, which is violation of the community rules. And because it happens to be a carpet cleaning business, he dumps the carpet cleaning junk on the street. That's a violation of health issues. But you know what? They don't care. They came here from the projects in Detroit, and they want to bring their lifestyle with them, and they expect everybody else to acquiesce to it. This is where I have a problem. I'm not saying everybody's got to be alike and not everybody's got to get along. But when you see that the rest of the neighborhood ain't that way, you kind of get a little quiet. You kind of assimilate a little bit. They don't even try. The wife is the most, she's one of the coldest fit. Look, I talk with the husband. I talk with the kids. I talk with the daughter. The little boy fell down a few months ago and hurt his knee, fell off a bicycle. This is the littlest kid. This kid probably isn't more than 4 years old, maybe five. And he was out there crying, and I was concerned. I went down to help him. His mama comes running out of the house. Don't you pay no mind. I got it taken care of. And she's with him for a few minutes. I said, is the boy okay? Is your son okay? She looked at me like I was the white devil. I didn't give a damn what color her son was. It was a little boy in pain. And that was my concern. The whole racist connotation, my friends, is very upsetting to me. Because unfortunately, it's promulgated more on one side of this so-called color aisle than the other, because they have leaders that continue to whip that up into a frenzy. Our writer continues on with his letter. He says, all politicians have proven themselves liars and treasonous. And at the age of 26, I've only been to the voting booth twice and have learned that lesson well. Obama's no different. I didn't vote for him and relish the opportunity to chastise people who do. I don't like him any more than you do. Yes, they're all. Well, I won't use the word. He references what they are. Let's just say that it references their posterior. But there is no need to distinguish which are black ones and which are white because it's irrelevant. You know what? I agree with that. And the biggest problem is those who are black tend to wear it on their sleeve. They're going to cram it down the rest of the world's throat. The Black Caucus in Washington is one example. We're going to talk about them in a few minutes. Our writer goes on to say, I am suburban raised, college educated, can safely say I've spent the majority of my life truly being a minority. I was the minority where I lived, the minority when I went to school, the minority where I work upon graduation. I'd like to think that in my few years here, I've come to know racists when I see them. Racists are forever prefacing racist statements by saying, I'm not racist, or I don't care if he's this color or that color, as they proceed to describe him as a color. He says, clearly you care, or you wouldn't use it as a descriptive characteristic so much. I met a nice young black this, or she was a black that. Really don't see the point of adding color to every single story, as it provides zero descriptive context, and I can imagine what it has to do with anything. Can't imagine what it has to do with anything. He says, I'm trying to turn my girlfriend and my family onto such important issues, and frankly, every time I do, eyes get to rolling because to them and to me, you sound like a racist. My girlfriend is white, and even as she asked me to stop tuning in early because she's tired of it, It's your show, and I respect it. I do enjoy most of what you talk about, but some of it gets offensive, dude. I mean no disrespect, but I thought I'd drop you a line. Warmest regards, signed Brian. You know what? I didn't take it as disrespectful. I thank you for bringing it to my attention, but I also felt that I needed to respond in the manner that I did. Whether you accept that response or not is not an issue. Now, from there, we go on to a series of headlines. A column that came out that says flash mob epidemic. Flash mobs used to be so much fun. A group of people would arrange to meet in a public place or a particular time and would perform a song or a dance number or some other form of entertainment very suddenly without warning. Well, the term flash mob is rapidly coming to mean something else now. All over the country, young people are using social media and other forms of communication to coordinate shocking large-scale crimes. At first, there was just a few isolated mob robberies around the country, but now we have full-fledged flash mob epidemics on our hands. Sometimes the flash mobs are involved in mass shoplifting events. In other cases, flash mobs are just committing random acts of violence. But it's a very disturbing sign for our nation that all over the country we have large groups of young people that are banding together to commit very serious crimes, something that is unprecedented in modern U.S. history, yet another indication that our society is beginning to fall apart. Beginning to fall apart? What do flash mobs look like? I can give you example after example, and the most recent well-known one is the one that took place at the Milwaukee County State Fair, or in the Wisconsin State Fair, a week to a week and a half ago. I do know for a fact, because I've seen the films and I had reporting that came out, but all of a sudden the media is scared to death to talk about it. They don't want to talk about the fact that the majority of that flash mob happened to be people of color attacking whites. But anytime people of color attack whites, and look, I don't condone whites attacking blacks or anything else, but anytime it's a black on white crime, it is very quickly brushed under the rug. That is reality. Don't want to upset the people. Don't want to get the people in this country angry at each other and fighting against each other. What about a degree of self-defense? If this would have been a white bunch of kids jumping all over a bunch of black kids, this thing would still be front page news in this country. Now, I'm not going to waste a lot more time on this because, believe me, there are just as many low-life white flash mobs in this country going on. And why? Because this country is morally bankrupt. Because people in this country today, they cannot get jobs. They cannot work. The nation's falling apart. Their families are losing their homes. People are getting angry, and this is the only way they know how to respond to it. They're taking their anger out on somebody, anybody who happens to be around. It's some scary stuff, my friends. I'm going to go to a quick break. We come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some other similar issues like this. We're going to talk about the lovely Maxine Waters. What a babe.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Did you know that the water you're drinking may contain over 2,000 different contaminants? From hormone-disrupting and mind-altering chemicals like fluoride in pharmaceuticals to newly emerging contaminants like radiation and other hybrid chemicals that water treatment plants don't screen out of our drinking water. PureEffectFilters.com has a breakthrough filter solution to effectively reduce the widest range of such contaminants, including the radiation coming from the Fukushima disaster. In addition, the filters will also revitalize your water by releasing natural minerals and electrolytes while increasing pH and antioxidant levels. Safeguard and revitalize your drinking water today with a breakthrough PureEffect water filter system. Visit PureEffectFilters.com to learn more. Or contact us today at 1-888-891-4821. That's 1-888-891-4821. Call now and take one of the most important steps you'll take to a healthier future.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Me to go off in a somewhat different direction today. I will tell you, it is a direction that makes many people feel uncomfortable. And yet, if we can put certain issues aside, it doesn't matter what color I happen to be as a broadcaster. I'm not doing my job unless we can talk about a wide variety of issues, no matter how uncomfortable it makes certain people feel. It is, you know, you take a look at some of the examples that have been given about flash mobs, and I'm not going to get into all of them. Last Saturday evening on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, a guy, a Polish gentleman, Krzysztof Wilkowski, was shopping on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, sitting on his scooter a couple blocks away, checking his phone for a restaurant when he got whacked in the face with a baseball. At first he thought it was a prank, but when he looked up, he saw 15 to 20 young men approaching him. His first reaction is, I'm about to get robbed. What do I do? 34-year-old insurance company employee from a Chicago suburb grabbed the keys from his ignition, held tight to his phone. This is Mr. Wilkowski. A few of the attackers dragged him off his scooter, pulled him onto Chicago Avenue where they punched him, hit him with his helmet, and tried to grab his phone. What would you do if you had 15 to 20 young men approaching you? Don't think it can happen to you? The truth is, my friends, we no longer trust that our fellow citizens are going to behave with a degree of common decency. Our society is crumbling. Fewer people than ever seem to have any sense of morality. Now, notice there was no reference in there to what color the attackers were, and nor am I going to make any inference to what they were. Because based upon the neighborhood that he lived in and where this crime took place, I could almost guarantee you that these were whites. Because I know that neighborhood. All over the nation, we're seeing bizarre crimes right now. It's not just happening in big cities. Louisiana, 30-year-old man decapitated his 7-year-old son with a meat cleaver, left his head on the side of the road. What made the crime even more shocking is the fact that the son was suffering from cerebral palsy and was confined to a wheelchair. I guess the man had gotten tired of taking care of the kid. There's so many stories like that, not just the flash mob scenario, but this kind of gets us away from what we're talking about and the direction I want to take this program tonight. Another column came out the other day, and it brings up the fact that any incumbent wants to define his opponent before the opponent defines himself. Well, the Obama campaign seems intent on painting Rick Perry as a Southern white racist, a tired line of attack that is angering conservatives and inspiring them to rally behind Perry. Now, that's a shame because I think Perry is an idiot. He may or may not be a racist, but he's certainly an idiot. Last week, liberal pundits charged Perry with racism, offering no evidence or even falsified evidence. And while the baseless racism charges surfaced on MSNBC, they may well have originated within the Obama campaign. The MSNBC attacks on Perry were egregious. First, on Monday night, liberal host Ed Schultz ran a clip of Perry in Iowa talking about the national debt. Perry spoke of, quote, that big black cloud that hangs over America, that debt that is so monstrous. Those are Perry's exact words. But Schultz cut off the Perry clip before the words, that debt, and asserted flatly that that black cloud that Perry is talking about is President Barack Obama. That's bullcrap. That is the insanity that comes out of our mainstream media. They won't take the time to attempt to dissect some of these issues as we're doing here. Am I right? I don't know. Am I wrong? Certainly possible. Oh, by the way, Schultz came out a day later and apologized for his deceptive editing, but he stood by his insinuation that Perry is a race baiter. Wait a minute. It wasn't Perry that was doing the race baiting. It was minions of the Obama administration, i.e. the mainstream media. Of course, Chris Matthews then played a similar game last Tuesday. Responding to Perry's occasional defense of federalism and statement that the Voting Rights Act led to gerrymandering in congressional districts, Matthews said of Perry, this is going to be a Bull Connor with a smile. Well, in his own half-hearted apology, Matthews asserted that Perry, who appointed Texas's first black Supreme Court justice, supported school segregation. That's familiar to the Republican base, not that I'm a huge lover of the Republicans. Amid the fever swamps of Twitter and internet message board, getting called racist for critiquing Obama is the norm. But only after campaign season swung into full force did this tendency become mainstream on the left. For those of you that were listening to my program the night of the 2008 elections, I openly stated I didn't really care who got elected. I didn't like Obama or McCain. But my biggest concern was it was not the color of the man's skin that upset me. It was the blackness of his heart. And Obama has proven to have an exceptionally black heart. This theme of baseless insinuations of racism emanates from Team Obama and the White House. Obama's own press secretary, Jay Carney, perfect name for a circus barker, referred to unnamed opponents who, quote, wanted to secede from the Union. The word secede from the Union clearly invoked the Southern states' effort to preserve slavery in 1861. Oh, is that right? Well, they may have wanted to preserve slavery, but they were actually trying to preserve their ability to survive as free and independent states, something the Constitution certainly allowed them to do. Well, PolitiFact has rated Carney's statement as false, pointing out that Perry once jokingly referred to a supposed right of Texas to secede, which they still legally have. He has repeatedly denied actually believing this. That didn't stop Carney. Facts rarely interfere with the left's effort to tar conservatives as racist. Jesus. And it goes on and on and on. And you start looking into so many different issues. How about Charlie Rangel, a top House Democrat? Oh, he's on message. Who says the guy from Texas, he's got the highest job accomplishments in the country, Governor Perry, but it's one stage away from slavery, from what I understand the salaries are. Why is it that, I hate to say it, dear writer, that we get more racist statements out of the left, and specifically from people of color? A perfect example, and I can't quite figure out what's going on here. You know, Maxine Waters who is one of the top hoity toys in what is referred to openly as the Black Caucus, a group that claims that their prime purpose is strictly to advance the cause of blacks throughout this country. My God, if they want to advance the cause of blacks, they ought to just shut up and disappear. You know, you cannot have a government continuing to pander to a particular... Look, affirmative action, perfect example. Affirmative action has done more damage to this nation, you know. I look at the words of people like a Bill Cosby, who chastised people of color and told them to stand up and pull their pants up and take control of their own lives instead of allowing others to control it for them. So long as you continue to remain accepting unemployment and WIC and food stamps. Look, some people are deserving of it. Look, everybody's deserving of it to a point, but it was all designed to be short term. Okay. We read stories that the unemployment within the black community is 16%. I'll guarantee it's closer to 24 or 25%. It is appalling. Unfortunately, the unemployment among whites, or should we say non-African-American communities, is also equally as bad. And that's what I believe is causing an awful lot of the frustration, and it's causing this flash mob phenomena to expand and do what it does. So Maxine Waters, a week or so ago, gets angry at Obama and says, when is he going to do something for the black community? Well, that to me is racist. You know, when an individual gets sent to any public office, whether it's within their state, whether it's at the federal level, the reality is they are sent there by the electorate to represent all the people within that community. How do people like Charlie Rangel do the things he does, violates the tax code, does not pay his taxes, and yet the man continues to stay in office time and time and time again? We had a guy from Louisiana, I think his name was Joe Jefferson. They went after him vehemently, found him guilty, basically ostracized him from Congress. I don't know if he'll serve time in jail or not for whatever his allegations were, but people like Maxine Waters. There was a huge investigation on her because of her serving on a committee that paid favoritism to a bank whose board her husband served on, but all of a sudden that thing seems to be swept under the rug. And now Maxine Waters comes out. Somebody apparently had referred to her as an overseer for the Democratic Party's plantation. Well, I don't know who made that comment, but to me that was a stupid comment to make, but it was made. So now she goes out and addresses the 12% jobless rate in California during a town hall meeting last Saturday and openly stated the Tea Party can go straight to hell. I guess that also means that the people of color, the so-called blacks that are part of the Tea Party because they're fed up with the status quo of this country, I guess she means they can go straight to hell too. Or does she consider them to be Uncle Tom's because they don't march lockstep with her and her mindset? She made that comment in Inglewood, California last week at what was billed as the Kitchen Table Summit with constituents. That, according to the LA Times and KABC television. She says, I'm not afraid of anybody. This is a tough game. You can't be intimidated. You can't be frightened. As far as I'm concerned, the Tea Party can go straight to hell. Well, with her at the forum in front of about 1,000 people were two other California Democrats, Representatives Karen Bass and Laura Richardson. Understand, according to the column we're sharing with you, the unemployment rate among African Americans in the area is reportedly 60%. Who cares? Do you understand what I'm saying? Why do we have to always deal with these kind of demographics? The unemployment rate among African Americans in this area is reportedly 16%. The unemployment rate among Native Americans in Flagstaff, Arizona is reportedly X percent. The unemployment rate among Anglo-Americans or Caucasians or white or whatever the hell you want to call them is this. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, this ain't got no color barrier. Unemployment in this nation has reached epidemic proportions. And that's strictly based on the unemployment figures the government chooses to report. There's no color barrier in this thing. Americans have been put out to pasture. I hate to say it, amongst some of the most talented people I ever saw in the house, in the home building industry, happened to be so-called people of color, blacks, African Americans, whatever you want to call them. And I'm sorry, about every decade they want to change what they're called, but that's okay. That's their right to do so, what they wish to be recognized as. These people did some amazingly gifted work when it came to sheetrock. This is in the building trade for homes. Sheetrock and the plaster work, and etc. Guess what? They've all been put out of work in favor of illegal aliens coming up from south of the American border that'll work for peanuts. So guess what? They go on unemployment. They wind up on food stamps. Their wives and kids wind up on welfare. And the government continues to promulgate it by supporting the invasion of this country. Several comments were left on this column about Maxine Waters, which I found interesting. Comment number one, Maxine, hey woman, you say you're not afraid of anybody, but your vile mouth and arrogant, hateful speech testifies otherwise. If you are not afraid of the Tea Party that has arisen from we the people of this once great nation, then you wouldn't spew stupid and putrid filth from your elitist lips. We the people have the right to stand up for what we believe, do we not? Your actions and mouth, Madam Minnie Waters, are a blight on everything this country was founded on. Your actions were a blight to every woman. Your actions disgust me, the writer says. Unfortunately, you'll just see this place of unending fire long you will see this place of unending fire long before many members of the Tea Party. Just remember your words, Madame, when you look across the chasm and want a drop of water. No one will be able to bring you tea. Secondly, the second comment, Waters is typical of culturally challenged liberals in this country today. Lincoln was right when he said that there will be a problem for this country forever in the future. And that is why he made the offer that they could all return to Africa at our expense one way. Now, I've never heard about that particular offer being made by Lincoln, but then maybe it wasn't Abe Lincoln this idiotic writer is talking about. I'm sharing the comments. I don't agree with what they're saying. He knew that we would have race-baiting liberals like Maxine Waters who would try to destroy this country and turn us all into Detroit. Sorry, folks, Detroit is the way it is due to the same mentality. We blame it on unions, and they helped. But it was those like Waters who did it in. Refer to the acceptance speech that Coleman Young made when he first took office as mayor. We will get ours. The time has come for us to take what is rightly ours. If I have to destroy this entire city to get it, I will. Guess what? Coleman Young was right. He and the others destroyed the city. Well, I would say that that comment made by the second person was partially true and partially not true. I think that they're a little loose with their remembrance of history. If Coleman Young made those statements, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. The fact of the matter is, when his final statement is the portion, he, meaning Coleman Young, and others destroyed the city. Yeah, rich white bankers, rich white Wall Street brokers. I hate to say it, but a lot of times they'll pick up a black person along the way to aid in their eventual thoughts of destruction. I wasn't aware of the fact that there were any great, big, huge, globalist black people that were part of the ownership of the international banking cartel. So that's my comment on that individual statement. The reality factor is I will not run away from talking about this issue. I will not run away from talking about the illegal invasion of these United States of America by predominantly people of Hispanic descent, although that's not even proper, because in order to be Hispanic, you must have a drop of Spanish blood in you. Those who were probably, a true Mexican could actually have had French blood in them. They could have had American blood in them. Maybe there was also some Spanish blood. Maybe they're the offspring of raiding Apache Indians headed up by Geronimo, who escaped Arizona and went down to Mexico. Doesn't matter. People of all colors have both good, bad, and ugly to add to the foray. Stay colorblind. Have a much happier world. And finally, the comment I made earlier about the long-awaited Martin Luther King Memorial. Oh, some of you don't like the fact that I made the statements about Dr. King that I did. He is a part of our history. Whether you agreed with him, didn't agree with him, or not. There were things he did and said that I disagreed with. There were other things that I was in complete and total support of. Do yourself a favor tonight. Get online. Do a Google search. I want you to go read the words of Dr. King's most famous speech, the one that's referred to as I Have a Dream. I've been privileged to share that speech on the air. I've been privileged to recant certain segments of it. And in satirical form, I've taken certain segments of it and twisted it ever so slightly. I don't know. I don't know where we're going to wind up in this thing, but there is no doubt about it. A tremendous amount of race baiting is coming out of this particular administration, my friends. But we are all supposed to sit back and have no dialogue about it. Are we, as so-called whites or Caucasians or descendants of Eastern Europeans or wherever the hell they like to tell us, are we supposed to sit back and not discuss it? Are we supposed to run from the subject matter in fear? It's a reality factor. But when you can take people like the gentleman who wrote me the letter, Bryant, and hopefully some of the things we've talked about, and find a common dialogue, not following the leadership of some of the idiots. I cannot for the life of me figure why any person of color would look at the likes of a Charlie Rangel, a Maxine Waters, a Jesse Jackson, an Al Sharpton, and look to these people to be leaders. They have led their people, if that's what they call them, by people. They have led them down to a path of continued suffering. Affirmative action, higher education. My God, the crime in the inner cities is deplorable. This Detroit has been destroyed by people of all colors. It's been destroyed by illicit criminal government crooks. You cannot correct the problem by continuing to throw more money at it, whether it is a racial issue, an education issue, a science issue, anything. I don't care what the issue is. You'll never be able to care for it by continuing to throw more money at it. I don't know. It is a subject matter that angers me. I grew up with black people in my life. Never had a prejudicial bone in my body until I went in the military. And then the prejudice wasn't toward the color. It was toward the man. And in some cases, one who happened to be a person of color. But I had equal prejudices toward people of so-called white race. I look at individuals and accept them or reject them for who each and every one of them are. That's the way we should all approach it. You don't have to agree with me. It's just my stand on the issue. And so if I continue to go on the air and speak in various different accents, you can rest assured it's meant for one reason, and that's to draw attention to an individual, to an issue, not to make fun of. As I've said earlier in the program, when I do a Barack Obama as George Kingfish Stevens, I think about what a charlatan, what a con artist George Kingfish Stevens was. And that, my friends, is exactly how I see one Barack Hussein Obama. You don't have to agree with me, but that's my state, that's my stand, and I'm sticking to it. We have minutes left to go here in this program. I've certainly avoided certain issues. I will give you a wind-up here. Marcus today did some interesting things, possibly because of the rue of or the routing of Muammar Gaddafi. Dow Jones Industrial jumped up 332 points today, but I suspect it's because the central bankers were told to pump a bunch of money in there. Closing at 11,177, the NASDAQ up 101 at 2446. S&P 500 up 39 at 1162. The global Dow currently up 43 at 1830. Gold off 20. Gold was off quite a bit. Gold is currently at $1,839. That's a pretty heavy, what, 70, 70, 71 dollars, six, now 60 some odd dollar drop from yesterday. Oil up 22 cents, currently at 85.66 a barrel. Over on the silver side of the aisle, we'll take a look and see. We'll rotate this out and see what's going on. Silver's back up in the aftermarket. It's up 37 cents at 42.17. It's been a good day in the markets for us. We've moved a lot of silver today. If you're interested in buying boxes of silver, give us a call. The pricing will be exceptionally favorable, whether it's Canadian Maple Leafs, whether we're dealing with American Silver Eagles. I do have access to pure 999 one-ounce rounds. Take advantage of them. Occasionally, we'll get some smaller quantities. I can do smaller quantities of Silver Eagles. Give us a call at Republic Trading Group at 1-800-691-7898. Once again, if you want to discuss your IRA, if you want to discuss your old 401k or et cetera, et cetera, give us a holler. And, you know, we'll be glad to counsel you on some of the various different things. What do we got here? Hey, thank you so much for sharing your valuable time with us this evening, and Lord willing, we'll see you. I'll be back Thursday night. Don't forget, Roger will be here solo tomorrow, and you sit there and support him, and you'll learn a few things. Take care. Good night.
That suit my taste, and your fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh, baby, what you got, nobody has. And I got you, yes, I got you, I got you, and all that jazz, and all that jazz.
The next round of the worst.